Currently, there are nearly 500,000 women in Australia over the age of 45 who are facing homelessness. In Australia alone, it's for a myriad of complicated reasons. But if you are a single mother who rents and you work part-time, then there is a 65% chance that you will become homeless in your life.
Welcome to the Sisterhood Club podcast, where we talk all things business, Web3, and NFTs. We're on a mission to educate, elevate, and empower women into the world of Web3. So join us on this journey as we learn together from leading experts. And remember, this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. So please do your own research and enjoy today's episode. Welcome to another episode of the Sisterhood Club podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard.
And me, Pam Caldwell. Today we have the wonderful Amy Efstathis. And Amy is the partnership manager at Code Like a Girl. Code Like a Girl is a social enterprise providing girls and women with the confidence, tools, knowledge, and support to enter and flourish in the world of coding. Their mission is to empower and enable women and girls to be equal creators in building the future. Amy, it is exciting to have you here today, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Great start. Let's kick off with you, who you are, a little bit about your journey, and we'll go on from there.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited. And yeah, really, this is one of my favorite topics in the world to talk about. So yeah, can't wait. I am Amy Efstathis. I'm here representing the beautiful Code Like a Girl organization. I have been lucky enough to be working with Code Like a Girl now for about 18 months. And I was originally drawn to Code Like a Girl. I'm not a tech person. I think I need to lead with that quickly, because otherwise people start talking to me about technical things and I have I'm not a technical person, but I am a very passionate advocate for women and women's equity, and helping women to be the best people they can be in their own lives and to have a say in their own lives as well. So I have been working for cause-focused organizations for about 15 years in a variety of marketing, partnerships, and events roles, and just knew that supporting women was in my future. And when Code Like a Girl advertised this role, I jumped at it because, it just meant so much. It just leapt off the page. I wasn't looking for a job, but as these things that are just meant to be are, an email came through and here I am today. And I get to work with the most inspirational group of women at Code Like a Girl. I think that's just the best part of it is the team. I've learned so much. I'm inspired so much. And it's just an incredible organization that really lives and breathes its mission. I don't think I've met an organization or worked with an organization that is just so authentic to what it's trying to achieve. So yeah, it's very exciting.
I love that. And I'm curious, so you've worked in like female-led organizations. You're clearly passionate about getting women into technology. I remember that conversation we had a while ago and I was so inspired after that call. And where does that passion come from?
I think when you realize the situation that women are in, the statistics for how we're getting left behind, the statistics of how we're getting left out of some of the most successful industries in the world, how we're not being supported and given the knowledge and the information that we need to have a successful lifelong mission. Currently, there are nearly 500,000 women in Australia over the age of 45 who are facing homelessness. In Australia alone, it is the biggest group of women, the biggest group that is facing homelessness. It's the biggest challenge of homelessness of our time currently. Wow. Is the amount of women. And it's for a myriad of complicated reasons. But if you are a single mother who rents and you work part-time, then there is a 65% chance that you will become homeless in your life. Wow. And that's just not good enough. Mm-hmm. For so many, it's because of careers, it's because of unaffordable housing, it's because of superannuation, it's because we put care of others before ourselves. And it's the old face mask rule. We've got to put the face mask on first, ladies, or you can only be the best parent we possibly can be when we're looking after ourselves first. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess that's where the passion came from, when I realized there were so many opportunities that women were missing out on. And we have been systemically left out of careers like tech, where incomes are growing substantially and significantly. In the tech world alone, we need to fill 60,000 roles per year for the next few years, and only 7,000 people are coming out of university. So there's this huge gap in the market. It is a future-proof career to help us solidify our future economic state and to ensure that we have lifelong economic stability. But we don't go into it because someone told us it was for boys, and it's not. It's definitely not.
Yeah, that is so interesting. I actually was completely unaware about that stat about women over 45 years old. And I feel as though that dynamic, that sort of age group, they are a huge untapped resource. But I suppose when you get to that age, you've got so many constructs in your mind throughout your life that have popped you in a box, and to be able to break that down must become really quite complicated. What do you see on in terms of like that older age demographic or more mature age demographic? What do you see as the main sort of barriers to entry to tech for women in that group?
Definitely. And I think the same barrier exists throughout all of our lives, and it's that because we don't live and breathe tech, gaming, you know, because we don't spend our weekends playing video games, women think, oh, I can't keep up. I don't have enough to offer. And it's a fallacy. I think that's the number one fallacy. The other is for women, especially in that over 45 age group, is we do have to share our care responsibilities with our career. And this is the reason why women make up the most of the short-term casual labour market in Australia, because we need flexible working, and we think that's casual. Now, casual working, unfortunately, is the most unsafe. You're going to have the less super. You're more inclined to lose your job. You're more inclined to face the issues that arise around recessions and pandemics and global financial crises. People who are part-time, casual, lose their job faster or get their hours reduced faster than those that work full-time. So the lack of flexibility, I think, in roles historically that we've seen, I definitely think that's changing, and I'd love to talk more about that at some stage. You know, women think that a tech or a career of any sort doesn't provide that flexibility, but because the tech industry is growing so fast and we've got such a talent drought, organizations are becoming smarter, more flexible, and more welcoming to women, women and diverse individuals, definitely non-binary people. Tech realizes it needs a more diverse landscape in its talent pool and is becoming more flexible to welcome those people.
Yeah, what it absolutely does, because technology is the future. And if you don't have women involved in that future, then the world's not going to be a good place, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I think like the world is definitely out of balance right now, and we do need to see that more feminine energy. So you've mentioned there, like, about the gaming and young boys like being attracted to that. So I'm thinking of Emily here, your gorgeous daughter. Like, you know, I can't see Emily wanting to come home and jump on a computer game, but like, how, as a mother, if you're listening to this right now, like, what could mums be doing if they've got young girls to like sort of start, you know, encourage them to be more curious about technology and coding and getting them to see that it's not just a boy club?
Yeah, well, I mean, technology is everywhere. And I think gaming is such a small element of it. There's roles for women. Like, here, I'm a marketing events person and I've got a job in tech. So I think that we shouldn't pigeonhole ourselves by saying, oh, I don't play games, therefore I can't get a role in tech. Some of the most important skills that you can bring to a tech role is creativity, is artistic ability, problem solving, communication. Most of the tech is built in teams these days. So if you're a great team leader, there is a job for you in tech. So when it comes to young mothers inspiring their daughters, I mean, it starts early. buy her blocks, buy them if she loves pink, like my other 3-year-old, and she's obsessed with pink, purple princesses, unicorns. But you know, she's got purple blocks and unicorn blocks and you know, those building blocks that to encourage that love of STEM can start early. So you lean into their own interests, but definitely explore other sort of toys and you know, those more traditional boys toys, I guess, is a great way to encourage a love of STEM. But yeah, it's not just about video games. You know, girls play on phones as well. Girls love taking photos. Girls love to have conversations. I shouldn't say girls either. We do kind of generalize boys and girls as certain aspects being boys and girls things, but it's not. It is more traditional feminine traits. A more feminine trait for girls is they want to be someone. They look up to, they fall into care careers because their first role models are mothers, are carers, and they want to be someone. So they embody in their play, they embody the people that they see around them, which is usually mums and grandmas and aunties and carers. So they play with their dollies. But my little girl sits at her computer and plays business. She has business meetings, and I think that's the most wonderful thing that I've taught her. But my little guy, he's more interested in how things work. So I think traditionally boys have gone into tech because they like to see how things work, but embracing that tech isn't just about making how things work. It's also about building great projects together and problem solving and creativity. You know, our CEO and founder, Ali, she was an artist. She wanted to get into art school, and now she is an engineer, CEO, founder, and engineer. Our lead technologist, Sarah, was a music teacher, and she just found this love of love of working things out and fixing things. So the strong role models, finding those strong role models in tech, so a young girl can see where she wants to go, is very important. But then also knowing that, yeah, it's not, you don't just have to do gaming to be good at tech.
Yeah, that whole you can't be what you can't see type philosophy. So I love that sort of, you know, that thought about mentorship and looking, you know, for other people that are really achieving, you know, certain dreams that you would like to aspire to. And 7,000 people coming out of school into tech and digital roles, it's just not covering anywhere near what's required for Australia even to head in the direction that's required to sustain the world's tech. I think quite often we sort of rely on changes coming from government, and it's obviously stems from a real grassroots level, and expecting them to be introducing the relevant sort of STEM subjects and generating that interest in our kids. But obviously, you know, as individuals, I feel that we do have to take ownership and make a difference towards that as well. Within Code Like a Girl, do you have any sort of policies, missions, visions around how to help at that sort of more grassroots level?
We did for a period of time. We were running camps and encouraging our girls to get involved in coding. There's a lot of different programs, and I can probably after this I can do you up a bit of a list of fun games and things that girls can play online to get involved in STEM and in coding. There's heaps of programs. It's definitely, and you know as you mentioned, we look to the government for that learning, but we've found, especially in Code Like a Girl, that our biggest supporters is coming from industry. Yeah. Industry knows it needs women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're building products that are for women. I steal a term that one of our partners once said to me is, we've got the ghost of the machine is a man, but the product is for women. And we need more women to make our tech better. Not only for other women, but for everyone. It's just good commercial sense to have a more dynamic group. So, I would be looking to, I know that there are programs done with all sorts of organizations. I was speaking to Amazon this week, and they are working with another not-for-profit to work with grassroots teams as well. So I'm more than happy to shoot you through some resources after this and add some notes to the to the podcast.
Amazing. Because I think that's something that our audience would be really interested in
looking at as well. Definitely. And everything you just said there as well, like Pam and I have obviously we've worked in technology for the last 12 years. We've recruited in technology. We've got an IT recruitment company. We see firsthand every single day that, you know, we put a job up on Seek, you know, we'll get 90% of men apply for that and only 10% of women. But those 10% of women, you know, we jump on because we know our clients are crying out for women. But then you look at their policies and their procedures and like what they offer, and it's like, actually, that's not really appealing for women, right? And you've touched on something really important earlier about the whole flexibility. And that's something that I am extremely passionate about. Like, you know, I don't believe in the 9 to 5. You know, everyone's different. Everyone works differently. Some people are morning, some people are evening. So to solve some of these problems, and if businesses are sat there and they're like, we really want to attract more women, we really want to have more diversity, what sort of things could they be offering in their business to attract women and get women through the doors?
Yeah, beautiful. I love that question. I'm just reflecting. We hold events with Code Like a Girl, quarterly events, and we get panelists in who are thought leaders on certain topics. And last year we had the wonderful Jacqueline Kerno, who works for EY, but she does a lot of speaking in this space. And one of the first things she said was, "Women aren't dumb. If you can't recruit women, it's not because of the women."
Yeah.
Okay. They know what they need. They know what they want. They need flexibility. They need work from home opportunities. They need a safe space. They do not want to work in a boys' club. Mm. So if you are having trouble recruiting women, the first thing you need to do is look at your own practices and not look at the women that you're trying to employ. I think it's really important to, you know, right there, flexibility. Working from home as an option. I understand if it has to be hybrid, but forcing people to come back to the office 5 days a week is not going to work for women. We've been able to do a load of washing at home in our lunch break for a couple of years now, and that's made the world of difference in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's made the world of difference in others. We don't have to commute anymore. That's a whole hour, an extra hour, sometimes 2 or 3 hours a day we can spend with our children. Mm-hmm. And this is where I get really passionate about working, especially working mothers, right? There's a bit of a stigma that working mothers aren't going to be as focused on the job at hand. They're not going to bring their best skills. They're going to be more distracted. But ever since I became a mother, I've become a better employee and a better worker. And the reason for that is if you're taking me away from my children, you better be sure that I'm going to make it worth it for me. I'm going to achieve as much as I can. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to do the job that I love to do, and I'm going to get in there and get it done in the short time that I have, so that when I'm back with my children, I can appreciate being back with my children. So if a workplace can offer that flexibility where a woman can work from home and not have to commute for 3 hours a day, spend more time with her children, she's going to be much happier at work, and she's going to be much more focused at work because she's had that quality time with the most important people in her life. flexibility is hugely important. And when we say flexibility, it can't be just 9 to 4 or 9 to 5, to 4. Like, kids eat at 5. You can't serve little kids. I've got little kids, right? We have to eat dinner at 5 o'clock. I'm serving dinner at 5. And if I'm not, there's a zoo in my house. It's wild animals. flexibility needs to be earlier days. It can't just be 9 to 5, 4 days a week. That's not flexible. That's just giving an extra day off. As you said, a little bit, you know, working hours that suit them, whether it's morning or afternoon, and a safe space where women are. We had a reflection recently, and it's a bit of a from a male CEO, you know, my door's always open. Unfortunately, that's not good enough. If you want to create a safe space where people feel heard, you need to go and ask for their opinion. You need to sit with them. Not everyone is aggressive. Not everyone is assertive. Not everyone can advocate for themselves in a busy workplace with lots of people. So if you want to ensure that everyone's voices are being heard, you need to actively, as a leader, as a CEO, or any stage of leader in your organization, you need to make space for people's voices to be heard. Mm. And women can... they can tell when they interview at an organization. We had one of our panelists at a recent event. She shared that she, when she was tossing up between a current role and a previous role, and she went in for the interview, and there was 4 men there, and that's okay, that's normal. But that's not okay, but it's normal. It's to be expected. Yeah. And just the bro culture that was coming through in that interview, she was like, this isn't for me. She didn't feel included. She didn't feel wanted. She didn't feel like her opinion was heard. There was a lot of talking from their end and not much listening of what she could bring to the table. Whereas on the other side, it was mostly men on the interviewing panel, but there was a woman there, which was great, but she felt heard. She felt understood and she felt wanted. And so she went for the job where she felt included. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's coming back to that culture and making sure that leaders – this is another thing I'm passionate about. Don't just tell leaders and managers that they should be doing something. Ensure they have the training, ensure they have the support, and then ensure they have the accountability to be achieving that as well. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many organizations where what the CEO says the culture is and then what the actual culture is in the day-to-day running are two different things, because they've missed that step where middle management is being empowered to achieve that culture and have that accountability. So, yeah, at all levels, we all need to have ownership for creating a safe space for women.
Yeah, I love that. And I think creating that safe space is just such an important part of creating a happy at work culture as well. Like Georgie and I have both worked in tech and digital recruitment for a very long time. It's a male-dominated industry, both in terms of recruitment, but also the clients and the candidates that we engage with. It's just like male dominated, left, right, up, down. But what we've built with CH Solutions is it's a female led company. We've got 5 female employees and we really do want to embrace that. But what we also say is that if we hire you, you have our trust. You don't have to build that. Okay, you got it. We've hired you for a reason. And we do want people to feel as though they can speak up and be heard. And we're in a position where I'm actually the only one that is a mother in our business at the moment. But even from, we all ebb and flow throughout the course of a day. And I want people to know that they can come to work. And if I call you and you're out a walk at 10:30 in the morning, please don't panic. It's okay. Like you work in terms of how you work best, because we laugh and joke all the time. Some of the team are not morning people. They're still at that age where they're like a right good lion. And that's okay. It's about just embracing where people are at. And I think if you give that trust, you gain the respect in absolute droves. Mm-hmm. And you're so right. People get the job done when they're given that safe space. They want to work. They want to get it done. And I think that's something that is really powerful, creating that safe space in a working environment. You know, you get the return on that. So yeah. I love that we're singing from the same hymn sheet there.
Yeah, definitely. It comes down to good management, really, doesn't it? Like a good manager will set the KPIs, set the objectives, and it comes down to getting a job done, not hours in a seat. Skills and experience do not outweigh hours in a seat any day of the week. So we need to stop recognizing and awarding people who are working full time because we haven't been able to set clear objectives for a role.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. I love it. And could we sort of talk to Code Like a Girl in terms of like the vision and the mission? You guys are obviously making such great headway. You've got such a great brand name. The events, I don't think there's anyone in tech and digital that doesn't actually know about the events that you guys run. They're amazing. But what is the sort of, now that you've got to a certain stage with the business, what's next?
Yeah. So we're so excited. This is a really big year for us. We launched our courses for women back in 2020. There were short courses, boot camps in C#, Python, or foundations of web development. But they're a boot camp. They're for a beginner friendly, by women for women learning experience. And it's flexible learning as well, which, you know, is so important to women's education. They were getting to a certain point and then needing to go somewhere to further their education. Now, at the other end, we have our wonderful intern program where we find interns from around Australia and help them get their first job with a leading organization, leading tech team in Australia. There was a gap. And this year we're closing that gap. We're closing the loop and we're launching our career track later this year. And a woman will study with us for 4 months for about one day a week. And at the end of that 4 months, she's going to be intern ready.
Oh, and amazing.
It's so exciting. We're so excited. The whole team has been just working their little bums off to get it done.
Yeah.
And so we're so excited to get there. And the first 20 women that are going through that course are doing it on scholarship, thanks to the Extra Foundation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the first 20 women who will be placed, who will train and then be onboarded into our internship program and get their first job will be women that would not normally have been able to study tech, would not have been able to afford it. So that's just
amazing.
It's actually life changing. Yeah.
That really is. That's absolutely huge. And I think as women as well, we more naturally feel as though we need to be ready for a role. We need to know all. So by implementing that sort of extra step, that will make women feel so much more supported and ready to enter the workforce and embark on a new career. So kudos for bringing that all together. That's huge.
I mean, I can't take any credit whatsoever. I'm the one that gets to talk about it to everyone. Yeah. But we've got a great team that are just, they're working super hard right now. They're on a bit of a deadline, so they'll listen to this later. So shout out to the team. I see you, and now everyone else sees you guys. You're doing such a great job, everyone. And we're going to get there. You can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what kind of numbers are you hoping to bring through the program this year?
We haven't set a hard target at the moment. As I said, the first group will be a cohort of 20. And then a couple of months after that, I think we'd like to grow it again to do another 20 or 30, sort of that sort of slow growth, just where we get the feel for delivering the program. And then next year, sky's the limit. Mm. Come on, come one, come all.
Amazing. And just in terms of, like, again, the audience, what would your advice be to our listeners that are potentially looking for a career move, right? I personally think that there's never been a better time in history to make a pivot in your career if you're ready to embark on a new challenge. It's such a candidate-led market at the moment. I feel that employers have got more of an appetite than ever to explore talent pools that potentially don't meet up to what their regular tick boxes would be. What would you say to women that are potentially looking to get into tech at the moment? What would your advice be?
Yeah. So I'm really lucky. I get to talk to representatives from industry all the time. Like, that's my job. I talk to all the, Amazon, EY, Google, Macquarie, ANZ, 99 Designs, these big tech employers, and I speak to them all the time. And time and again, they keep telling me, it's not about this. It needs to, the skills aren't as important as the attitude and the commitment to learning and being a lifelong learner. So even by doing a course like a Code Like a Girl course, a beginner friendly one, that's a great tick on your resume for showing that you're ready to take the next step. Definitely get into the Code Like a Girl community. We have events all the time. We've got free events. We've got our signature events. We've got our blog where we profile women in tech. Our Instagram, we try to have some fun with it there. Come on, get involved in the community and learn more from others. We'll show you the women that are doing great things and to try and inspire you. And then we've got our wonderful courses that, as I said, they're beginner friendly. You can know nothing about tech and come and do a Code Like a Girl course with it's safe, it's supportive. You find your community, you support each other through that course. And at the end of it, if you don't find your passion for tech, that's fine. Obviously there's somewhere else you need to be, but our chief HR person, she did a course recently just to, cause she helps to run that course and helps with the people side. So she wanted to do the course so that she knew what the scholars were going through, and now she's getting in there and playing with our website and doing. If you had asked her 5 years ago if she'd be running tech in a website, she would have said no way. But it really has opened up her her passion for technology and getting there and playing with code and different things. Start easy. Ease yourself in, but come join the community. We're having a lot of fun over here.
I love that. And there's just something that Pam and I are just extremely passionate about. It's actually why we started the sisterhood with everything we're doing, because we saw this huge gap coming with like Web3, and Web3 is the future. And we were like, we cannot not have women at the table in this. Like, Web2 was a bit of a bro club. So now we're like, right, come on, ladies, come on, girls, let's get involved in this space. And when I was looking into potential partnerships, like Co Like a Girl, was just something that Pam and I both looked at each other and like, that's the sort of company and brand that we would love to partner with. And part of our community is what we're going to offer is we're going to be putting women through, you know, your courses, your scholarships, like all of these programs. I just think it's so important to encourage women to try new things. Like, let's change the narrative. You don't just have to go into these jobs, right? Let's expand it. Let's get some women, you know, trained up in technology. So I'm really excited that we're going to be working with you, hopefully, and getting some women through your doors and trained up. And then we've got an IT recruitment company to help them get jobs over the back end. So it just all kind of works perfectly.
It's so good. I know, it is so good. Yeah, it's really exciting. And I think, yeah, there's so many, the change is coming. The change of embracing diversity is coming. And there's so many organizations that want to do good out there.
It is.
Yeah, it's really industry-led.
It is. And I just think like female financial independence is genuinely something that Georgie and I are incredibly passionate about as well. And for an industry that can actually offer the flexibility that's so all important to a lot of women, taking digital is a great career choice. But look, this has just been such an encouraging conversation.
You should definitely talk money, because the money you can make in tech is... It's huge. It's huge. There's people are starting off their career and they're earning well over 100K, like just a few years into their career as well. So, yeah, I think we don't talk money enough. We don't talk finances enough. And, I think that if women just knew the earning capabilities that were in the tech career, they would be running a lot faster to this opportunity. So if you are looking at your next move and you're considering, you know, maybe you're a social media fan and you're thinking becoming a social media manager, stop, because you're going to tap out well before you tap out in your earning capacity as in engineering or in tech. So yeah, that's probably a really important message.
Absolutely. I just want to jump in here as well. As a woman, there's no shame in wanting to go for jobs for the money, right? I just want to say that. I want to just be like, you know, I'm a woman and I've been very driven by, you know, creating a financial freedom for myself from a very young age. And I just thought, you know, I saw my dad was the breadwinner and all my uncles and things. I thought, actually, you know, I want to be that. I want to be earning the money and supporting myself. I don't want to be, you know, just sort of, you know, living off my husband. I want to be earning my own money, have my own savings, buy my own home and go out and buy whatever I want when I want. And I've been very driven with that from a young age. And it's almost like sometimes I get shamed because, you know, from a young girl, I was like, well, I want to do well and I want to, you know, live in this house and drive this car. And it's like, if a young boy said that, they'd be like, high five, you know, good for you. But as a woman, it's like, oh, it's a bit snobby or a bit, you know, arrogant.
What about the children?
You know, so I just think, yeah, it's important for women to, you know, not be ashamed if they want to, you know, earn good money, as you should as a female. It's something I'm very passionate about as well.
Yeah, I know. The opportunities, the freedom. We get to live a life of our own design when money isn't an issue. So, I just think we need to look at, women need to be brave and own up to wanting to earn money. It's okay. Yeah. Money is good. Yeah. It gives us power and control over our own life.
Correct.
Yeah. Even when we're actually speaking with candidates that are looking for a transition in your career, you can see the visible difference. And again, you don't like to generalize, but more often than not, women would maybe look to us for the advice. Look, based on what I've just told you, what do you think I'm worth? And it's like, no, you tell me, what do you want? You just, you know, command it and we'll take that to market for you based on your experience. But I do find that often women come to us looking for advice and direction when it comes to the financials. So that's definitely something that I'd love to see. I'd love women just like speaking up more about finances and money and just break down those barriers. Like, it is okay to have those financial drivers and ask for that pay rise. Yeah. You're worth it.
I think women have kept quiet about how much they earn. You know, it's been a bit of a taboo subject to talk about how much we earn, but it means that's how the pay gap has occurred. It's one of the reasons it has occurred because pay rates have been such a big secret. Why? Why are they secret? If it's fair, if everyone's getting paid the equal amount or getting recognized for their skills, why is it a big secret? So I think the more that women can embrace that change of talking about pay, how much they are making, how much their colleagues are making, it's going to make this whole system a lot more transparent.
Absolutely. I love
that's
that.
That's it. And that's why I think the blockchain is going to change the future, because it once everything's on the blockchain, everything is visible, transparent. And that is why I'm so excited about that being embraced in this new world, because there's no, you know, imagine if a contract, your work contract was on the blockchain, everyone could access that. And you could say, hang on a minute, John Smith's earning 30 grand more than me. What's all this about? You know, so you could actually then be, you know, stand up for yourself and see firsthand instead of all this, like, you know, we'll pay him a bit more than her. You know, it's like, that's what I want to see in the future. And hopefully that comes around quickly. But it's these conversations that are going to enhance that and bring that forward. So, Amy, it's been an absolute pleasure to you know, bring you on today. And, you know, yeah, just sort of to sign off, like, where can people go if they want to find out more about Co Like a Girl, yourself? Like, where can we direct them?
Yeah, jump onto our Instagram straight away. Like, that's where all of our resources and things are. We're pretty active on there, sharing stories. We've got a great little Instagram takeover happening this week by one of our partners. So yeah, come and see what it's like to be a woman in tech. Come join our communities. We've got so much fun. We're having so much fun and learning a lot. We're learning together, I think, is the most important thing. All of our events. The team, our Co Like a Girl team, is learning from our community, and we're presenting, just opening up ideas. And yeah, come to check us out on Instagram, amazing. Sign up to the newsletter, come to an event. I'll see you there.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think it just what you guys are doing in order to encourage more women to just break the bias in both their lives and career, it's huge. We love what you all stand for, and we're really excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. It's just been absolutely wonderful to talk about all my favourite topics. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it. And if you did, please give a little share on your social. And if you have time, please leave a review. And I hope to see you next time. Take care.